sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Hey, welcome. Let's try that again. No, I'm not high, I promise. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzak, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com on the interwebs. Now, as usual, before I start, I have to remind you that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing for the black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on November 2nd, 2022. The year's 2022. This episode is also you. Oh my God, I swear I'm not high. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Wow, man. My brain is not properly functioning. Maybe it's because I just had one of them days, man. Kind of days that just make you want to holler. Them kind of days that mama told you about. That there'd be days like this. Yeah, mama told you there'd be days like this. So let me just start with the beginning with, I'm not sure what the title of this episode is going to be as I'm recording. After I'm done recording, the mood will take over and inspire the title for today's episode. But right now I'm debating between If they sweat me, I'm going to open fire. That's in response to a, I should turn that off. You know what I mean? Hold on, let me turn, this is my WhatsApp, my WhatsApp going on. I think I leave it on so you'll be convinced that I have friends, or that I'm a popular person, but okay, so I turned it off, all right? No more interruptions. Where was I? Yeah, title of this episode might be, If they sweat me, I'm gonna open fire. That's a verse from one of Tupac's tracks, of Straight Balling, and or City Blues by he's a new artist to me. His name's Toby, and I think he's from Ottawa. That's the rumor, but you know, doesn't matter. But the point is, City Blues. I was just listening to it while I was preparing for this episode, and it was talking to me, man. It was talking to me. And the last one is, you know what, that's not going to make the list, but I was going to say, Mama told me there'd be days like this. I got to tell you, man, this is my second attempt recording in the middle of the week, because I got thoughts. At the beginning, I was just going to talk about a little moment that I had recently where I felt like I was a hypocrite. It's in response to something to the previous episode that I recorded, episode 025. Shit, what did I call it again? 025. My brain's not working. Not Glock on my waist. It's called, shout out to your listeners who are like, hey, man, I pay attention to your episode. Yeah, because all I want to be is true. Yeah, I had a little moment of hypocrisy in that moment. And talk about the passing of the rapper, one of the members of Migos, Takeoff. And I got to warn you, if you're a fan, no, this ain't a homage or anything like that. It's just going to be a reflection about the concept of death. especially for rappers, dead rappers, man. It might, you know, if you're like mourning, because this is recent news. If you're mourning his death, yeah, I'm not going to say anything cruel or mean, but I'm saying this ain't the episode if you were hoping to, like, you know, to have a lighter in the air and have someone to grief with. This ain't going to be a grieving thing. It's just a thought I had about it. All right, so yeah, those are the two thoughts. But then, you know, fuck it. I have a big mouth. I said, I'm just going to jump to it. Two things, just some real quick ones. Is one, it's a note that I got to stop comparing myself to other podcasts. If you're thinking of starting a podcast, or if you're a new podcaster, new to the podcasting game, do yourself a favor. Don't try to compare yourself to other podcasts. I mean, sure, you can learn from what they do best, or things that you like, and, you know, I'm not going to say imitate them, but try to mimic them, like things like consistency reach, you know, things like that. But whatever you do, do not look at their grass. The grass is always greener. Do not look at their progress. Do not look. It will just depress you, man. Okay. I like listening to a lot of podcasts, but comparing myself to them just has really not helped me. Two, quick thought that I had today is my communication skills. Something that I learned about my communication skills. And I'm realizing why I don't mind podcasting to zero audience. By the way, if you're listening to this podcast and you're enjoying it, please understand, I don't know why you're listening to it, but I'm very grateful you exist. I'm grateful for this connection. With that said, about my communication skills, I know that I'm not the most, succinct, to the point kind of person, to kind of get to the point. But I'm realizing that when I communicate, whether it be writing or speaking, if it's not prepared, for me, through trying to think about what I want to say is like looking into the future. It's kind of complicated. It's just a thought that I had that it's like, yeah, me communicating is like talking into the future in that I don't know what I want to say until I see it. I just was just in a situation where I had to write this email to someone at work, and it's only when I recorded myself pretending like the message in my head, and then I realized, oh, you're trying to tell this motherfucker to back the fuck off. You got their message. Back the fuck off. Get off my nuts as I try to figure out how to fix your fucking problem. Yeah, you know what I mean? Sometimes I need to do that. And, anyways, I'm just saying, I think every podcast is an attempt at getting better at seeing into the future or crap homing my ability to communicate. All right, next item. I put Mama told me there'd be days like this. Yeah, man, I was just telling a friend of mine that I just had a few moments today where I just felt overwhelmed. And I watched a movie recently called, what's it called? Silence. Is it Silence in the Western Front? Hold on, let me make sure. Silence in... Pretend Mel. Yo, I can't type it. In the Western Front. Is that what it's called? Oh, sorry. All Quiet. Okay, you know what? Hold on a second. Let me turn this off. What's that noise? Y'all hear that? You probably can't hear it. Yeah. Sorry. One of my inputs is tripping. I can't turn it off. Okay. All right. Okay. Where was I? Oh, All Quiet on the Western Front. It's a movie. It's a movie that was, not bad. 7.9 out of 10. I'll summarize. It's a movie about World War One, and it's pretty much like War Sucks, which is why I kind of like the theme into it, right? And I think it's an old movie. I think it's made in Germany. But here's the point. World War One movie, and it's from the perspective of the Germans. It's kind of interesting watching the movie, and the French are the bad guys. Well, they're not the bad guys, but they're on the opposition side. What I'm saying, it was cool to see the movie, to watch the movie, and being able to understand the bad guys. The opposite side. Anyway, yeah. But okay, here's let me just get serious. Remembrance Day is coming up in a few days. One, and two, it's another one of those movies to remind you, to remind us how much war sucks. And what I like about this movie is how it starts off with a bunch of kids who, four kids. I can relate to that, to these, even though they're Germans. Did I mention that? I didn't watch it in the subtitle. I watched it in English. I cheated. But yeah, even though they're German kids, I was able to connect to their willingness for adventure. So I guess these poor kids were lied to. I say kids because they were really young, and they show that one of the kids, like, forged their parents' signature to join the war. And these four kids wanted to join the war, and I guess they were lied to about, yeah, back in those days. I mean, it still is, right? Or war is romanticized. But I can connect to their willingness for adventures. I bet they figured, like, going to war was probably the equivalent of me listen to a Tupac verse, Mobb Deep verse. Basically, when you come back from war, you're gonna be a real man. You know what I mean? Like, as a boy, that was just all we wanted as boys, to be real men, to be considered real men, and to get bitches. So I don't know, whatever. I don't know what fucking lies these people told these kids, and it starts off with them like being excited to join the war front. Now, as someone who's been, you know, who reads a lot. Reads a lot, who studies a lot, or listens a lot, watch a lot of documentary on World War One and Two, and I'm like, these poor fucking kids, because they're on the losing side. So it was interesting seeing these kids getting excited to join a war, but how would they know, right? Hindsight is 2020, and these poor kids getting excited to join the war, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, yo, these poor bastards. I wonder if that's what it's like to be God. You're like, damn, holy shit. If I was you, I wouldn't stick your dick in that. Oh, too late. All right. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, man, it's interesting to see these kids all excited to join this war. And then finally, when after that first march, when they're fucking, yo, these poor bastards got sent into the trenches. I don't know if you know anything about war, trench warfare. Jesus Christ. Actually, I'm going to recommend a podcast. It's called History Hardcore. By Dan Carling, History Hardcore. Yeah, I'll probably put it in the show notes. History and Hardcore. Yeah, man, that dude, hardcore. He like does not mince word about the ugliness of war. Sure, his podcast episodes are Dan Carling. Thank you. His podcast episodes are long, but they're kind of worth it. And I mean, they are worth it, especially if you're into history. And yo, that dude will tell you about how shitty war is. The more I think about it, I love listening to it. I love listening to his podcast episodes, especially he's got one on World War One. But what's scary is every time some asshole politician is like quick to like, yep, yeah, okay, well, I guess we're going to war. Fuck you bitches. Like it's nothing. And the people who support them, it's like, yeah, send our boys and men and women, our boys and girls to war. Yeah, fuck it. What do I give a fuck? I'm going to be here chilling. But yeah, man, war sucks. War sucks. Out of we like to praise ourselves as human beings for our accomplishments. Yeah, because we made it to Mars and shit like that. But yo, war is our greatest failure as a species. Don't get me wrong. I know sometimes it's necessary. Don't get me wrong. If I'm like, in Haiti during the Haitian Revolution. Yeah, fuck it. I mean, the war is necessary. It sucks, but so does slavery. Anyway, yeah, so I'm just saying, man, we need to reevaluate ourselves as human beings. Oh, my God, I'm distracted. All right, yeah, war on... Oh, my God, I just realized the point that I was making. Getting back to my communication skills. All right, okay. this is a bullet point that's gone wrong. Okay, let's get back to the whole point. The whole point to me talking about war was just to say that there was a moment in my day where I felt like one of the kids who were at war going, I want to go home, I want to go home, fuck this shit. Yeah, yes, I do work from home. Yes, I do work in an office environment. And yes, none of the shit that I do is as challenging as going to war. And yes, I know I'm exaggerating shit, but I'm just saying I had a fucking moment in my day where I was like, I fuck this shit. And that was the whole point, man. This shit might be a bit. I should make this into a joke. I hope this made someone laugh. My lack of ability to focus on a point. Anyways, I'm just saying, okay, I survived today. it went, you know, I guess it's not that bad. I survived to make it to another day. What made this day so bad? It was just, let's just say, because I don't want to go into detail. Let's just say that for once in my career life, I've been put in a situation where I'm outside of my comfort zone. And I'm kind of freaking the fuck out. I'm kind of like, I'm trying to get things right. I'm trying to accept that, you know, you can only control what you can control. I'm just trying to do things right. But my brain, which is an expert at imagining all the worst possible scenarios, is like fucking with me. Like, my brain is like my worst enemy in this situation. But these challenging situations came up, and I you know what? I remember when I did comedy, and I'd be, because every show was took me out of my comfort zone. It was always a new show for me. Granted, except for open mics, you know, if I knew the room, whatever. But I mean, okay, no. For the sake of conversation, every show was took me out of my comfort zone. What sucks is being taken out of your comfort zone, and the show was just like mediocre. Like, people didn't really laugh as much as you thought, or a new joke that you tried didn't land the way you wanted to land. And you just felt like, fuck, man, I should have stayed home. Like, this show wasn't worth it. Like, that's how this today felt. Like, I have shit to show for this high blood pressure of today. Does it make sense? You know, tomorrow will get better. Better days, better days, better days, better days. That's all I'm trying to say about, yeah, mama told me there'd be days like this. All right, let me get to my point here. Before I get to the actual points I was going to make, which is a moment of hypocrisy and RIP Takeoff, this is about my podcast. One thing I like to do before a podcast is I create a new playlist on Tidal, and any new song I discover, I add it to the playlist, or any song that hits me, I add it to the play. Any song that gets me thinking and like, hey man, that could probably be a topic. Like, for example, Straight Ballin' by Tupac came on, and he's got a line where he says, like I mentioned earlier, he says, if they sweat me, I'm an open fire. I'm like, that's an interesting thing. Anyway, yeah, so all this to say, one of the songs that came up, and it just had me thinking, it's called Mr. Turn Up, Mr. Turn You Up. Okay, let me see who made that song. I think it was Shy, Mr. Turn You Up. Damn, I'm hungry. Yep, Shy. And never gonna give you up. Yeah, okay. It's a love song, but yeah, Mr. Turn You Up had me thinking of another song made by R.I.P. Gerald Levert, Mr. Too Good for You. Is that what it's called? Oh, Mr. Too Damn Good for You. I remember listening to that song by Mr. Too Damn Good for You, and it had me thinking of if I was in a relationship. I want to be considered Mr. Too Damn Good to you. I'm a giver. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm a giver. And as a giver, and if you're a giver who's in a relationship, you're trying to be the best person in the relationship. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's a competition. I don't know if two givers could get in a relationship, but that'd be beautiful. But anyway, but you, the other person's happiness. Okay, you don't go in a relationship to make someone's happy. I mean, you want to share your happiness. But I'm just trying to say that I can relate to Gerald Levert's song, Mr. Too Damn Good for You. And then it had me thinking of how one of my AKAs is Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com. And, you know, I might reserve this for the next episode of this podcast because I could get long. But it had me thinking about... If I wrote a song like Gerald Levert about Mr. Too Damn Good for You, but instead of a partner, a significant other, I call it Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, and it's dedicated to my ideal fan, what I want to give to them, what I wish I could. Like, let's pretend this is a relationship between me, Mr. Podcaster, and you, the Mr. and Miss. Damn, is that what I'm trying to say? Or okay, you the listener. Holy fuck! I'm trying to genderize my audience. I'm just saying, as you the listener, What would it take for me to be considered that Mr. Too Damn Good for You? And one thought that crossed my mind, like, how does a podcaster become an ideal podcaster to his listener? Thoughts that go through my mind. And I was thinking of something that was Rod once said on Rodimus Prime from the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. He was interviewed by, I believe he was being interviewed by Chinilla podcast back in the days. That's an old school reference for some of you. Today's contest. What's Chinilla podcast's current name? Anyways, yeah. An interview on Chinilla podcast, and this was a very long time ago. It might have been when they were at episode 500 or episode 1000. I can't remember one of those two, one of those milestones. And Rod was talking about how I think they had recently changed their format where they were releasing a podcast episode 3 times a week or 4 times a week. And something that he was saying is, yes, no, I want my audience to feel like, God damn, there's so much to listen. Like he wants to flood the market. He wants you to feel like I think he likes the fact that you're like, damn, there's so much content to consume. Like, he is a monopoly unto himself. Okay, I'm not calling him a monopoly, but I'm saying, if he was Avon Barksdale, he's giving you a reason not to go to Prop Joe. You know, that's a bad example. My point is, I feel the Black Guy Who Tips as a podcast, they're putting out so much content, not just so much, quality content. All their podcasts is like quality content. And trust me, man, I can hear Rod and Karen, how they stress over a good, like, I notice little things like how they react when they can't hear themselves on the headphones. Whoa, 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 okay, what the fuck? Or something's not playing when they need to. So what the fuck? Okay, why is this shit not working? And stuff like that. I sense how it matters to them that they give out quality content. And my point is, I believe that would be an example of a podcaster behavior, like Gerald Levert and being Mr. Too Damn Good, or podcaster Too Damn Good for You. And it gets back to what I was saying in the beginning is, you know, don't compare yourself to other podcasts. Like they've been at it for a while, and I wouldn't want to compare my podcast to them results-wise, because they have like a loyal fan base. It's not just a loyal fan, but they have a community based off their podcast. Okay, so don't look at that, because you'll just depress yourself. Well, okay, but I can't focus on this commitment on their part to be too damn good to their audience. It's funny, eh? I went from Mr. Turn You Up to Mr. Too Damn Good to Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com. I guess I'm trying to figure out what it means for me to say that. Because my name is my name! Oh, shit. Okay. I figured out this is a sound clip I need to save on my sound pad. All right. How much time am I into? Okay, man, you're wasting a lot of time, Killian. I'm going to get quick to wrap this up. Moment of hypocrisy. Yeah. So in the last episode, I'm going to blame Lloyd, the R&B rapper, artist. He was talking about how is 'Cause All I Want to Be Is True, off the song called True. You know what? Let me get the song, the lyric, because it's just powerful. Lloyd, True. And he says, I nearly played the video. And what am I, trying to get sued? You know, maybe I should, fuck me. Genius. Girl, sorry, we have to make sure you're a human being. Okay, I'm a human. Oh, wow, so Rap Genius checks if you're a human being to use it? Please click on each image containing a horse. That's a horse. That's a horse. What's that? Who's that nigga on that now? That's a tiger. All right, next. Again? Please click. Did I fail? Holy shit. This is a fuck. All this to look up some lyrics? This is some bullshit. Oh, unless they're being racist. It's like, oh, we meant by human being, we meant a white man. Okay, I'm kidding. All right. It'd be cool if, it'd be funny if these captures would detect, please confirm that you're a white man. And it's like, what is your favorite racial slur? How do you would identify? Okay, I'm off beat. All right. True. Yeah, the chorus. The chorus to this song inspired what I was saying on my what I was saying on my last episode, because all I want to be is true. And he goes, this is me, so please accept me for who I am, and please accept me for what I do. I'm just trying, I'm just doing everything that I can, because all I want to be is true. So please accept me for who I am, and please accept me for what I do, because there's no me without you, and all I want to be is true. And I'm like, you know, that's a catchy rhyme. And I'm like, you know what I mean? I wanna live like that. I want to be like that. Now, I can't go into details because it's a very sensitive. It's kind of very sensitive. It's still like fresh in my mind, and it's very emotional. And it's one of those, I don't know. It's one of those, I don't think I want to share this with the public. But all I can tell you is I had a moment this week where I found myself thinking, fuck, I wish I was anyone but me. It was the way, it was in response to something that happened to me, something that happened. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard, not the saying, but the idea, the notion that, sorry, my ribs are hurting. Right. It's like being in a situation and feeling like you're not up to the task. Right. So, yeah, you. I was in a situation, the notion is it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to it. And I guess the way I responded to the situation made me hate myself. Or made me not like myself. Like, it just put me in a situation where my mind was like, I wish I was more like that. I wish I was more like this. I wish I was more like that person. I remember I was flooded with all these thoughts about, because I hated the way I responded to it. Okay. Because I'm sure someone's out there is like, I don't understand what you're trying to talk about, or I can't relate. But I'm just going to exaggerate a situation that's once happened to me a long time ago. Okay. You know what? I remember approaching some girl, and the way she rejected me, it was so bad that I took it, it even affected my own self-concept. I guess a fragile self-concept, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, no, that's a bad example. But you know what? Okay, I think this is one of those situations that if you know, you know. And the rest of you are just going to listen to what I'm saying and being fucking confused at what I'm saying. But who knows? Maybe next episode I'll give you the specific circumstance. But, okay. We're not going to. Something happened. And when I explained it to my therapist, I was flooded with tears. And here's the thing, it wasn't like something that considered acceptable to cry at. Does that make sense? No, okay, I'll go even deeper. It's one of those things that, as a grown-up adult, it should not have made you cry. I'm going to be clear, I am not telling you what should have happened, what could have happened, what I'm just speaking my mind and therapy. Like, I'm not getting into the right or wrong, I'm not trying to be lessons learned, I'm not saying, and the moral of the story is, I'm like a computer just spitting out data, and you add it to the logs. If you're statisticians, you know, you just add the dots, and then after we'll worry about patterns and what should or would have happened. I'm just saying, something happened, resulted in me being, it would hurt feelings enough for me to be like, take me back to when I was a child. Now, granted, I'm sure there's like some deep-rooted trauma behind this shit, but I remember wishing in that moment, fuck, this wouldn't have happened if I was a better person, if I was a stronger, this, that, all that, and the third. In that moment, everything I was telling you about keeping it real, accepting myself for who I am, and all that shit, went out the fucking window. That's what I'm trying to get at. That's the whole point to the story is I was a fucking hypocrite in that particular moment. I'm not beating myself up or anything like that. But I still remember preaching about keeping it real on a microphone. And then the next day, the next day, life was waiting for me to be like, hey, little bitch. You know, I'm thinking about my for those who don't know, my dad's a pastor. And so I grew up in the church and I'm very familiar with pastors. And I'm very familiar with pastors who just preach what they don't practice. Practice what you preach. Yeah, who don't practice what they preach. I'm trying to reverse shit. I'm trying to preach about the shit that I practice. And in this case is, yeah, every once in a while, I'm a fucking hypocrite. I could be a hypocrite. So don't turn to me for good advices. Matter of fact, I hate giving people advice because I feel like a fucking hypocrite when I don't practice that advice myself. But let's just say I'm acknowledging, I'm confessing on this microphone, on this podcast, that I had a moment that the shit that I preached about on the fucking podcast, and it hit me. Now, a lot of people might say there's a chance that I might be hard on myself. I'll acknowledge that. There's a chance that it's not that much of a big deal, or it might be a big deal. But okay, in that moment, it was really a big deal for me. And I'm thinking about an episode in House of the Dragons, which episode? And one of the characters, because I'm comparing it, yeah, one of the characters who just happens to be gay and says the term, sometimes I wish the gods never made me this way or hadn't made me this way. And as the listener, the audience, you're like, oh, you feel for him. I'm like, nah, bro. And what I like is the other character responds. It's like, nah, man, you good people. Trust me. Trust me. You're better than the fucking rest of them. Your sexuality is not like a minus for you. So I was trying to see myself like that person and like, come on, B. Just because you responded that way doesn't mean you should be looking to the heavens and wishing that God or cursing the hands that you were dealt with in life. And don't get me wrong. I could preach to you. I could rationalize. I could preach to you about just saying no to drugs. But here's the thing. When that craving comes in, yeah, y'all can fuck all that notions, man. It's like I no longer relate to people or talk to people who say shit like, yeah, my rational mind is, I'm in full control of my body. Everything that I do is rational. Yeah, go fuck yourself. Everyone who's managed to tell me that has failed me in some way or somehow. And every time if I try to bring it up with them, yeah, they got defensive about it. But that's not my point. What I'm saying is, it's like that saying I'm saying is, human being in impulse. What is it again? Matrix quote, impulse. God damn it, impulse. That's what I meant to say. He says, Matrix. To deny our own impulse is to deny the very thing that makes us human. I'm trying to say, yo, shout out to you, all you people who are disciplined and all that shit. But I'm just saying, I think impulse overrides, emotion overrides all that shit. Anyways, yeah, that's what I'm getting at. All right, let me, how long am I? Okay, let me try to wrap this up. Okay, next topic is Takeoff the Rapper. Okay, you know what, I have to be honest with you, so let me look this guy up. Takeoff, this Wikipedia entry. Yep, of course. So, did I mention today's November 2nd? During this week, actually, we learned on Monday that rapper Takeoff, his name is Takeoff, his rap name is Takeoff. Actually, his full name is Krishnik Kari Ball. Okay, and he's a member of the rap group Migos. He was shot in Houston at the age of 28. So, being my timeline, my social media timeline is just kept repeating talking about this guy, about his death and everything like that. And I just felt the need to bring that up. And I don't know, I was talking to a friend about the death, and they were mentioning how, oh, killed by a straight bullet? Okay, they claim, whatever, right? Okay, two things. First one is, apparently this death came after a conflict. Some kind of conflict. He was him and I think it's, who's the other guy? Quavo? Anyway, okay, let me back up and say, look, I don't know, I'm not a fan of Migos. When I say I'm not a fan, I mean, Migos is the last rap group I probably remembered their name. I kept note of their name. I think probably because of Bad and Bougie. But after Migos, rap music turned like porn. And by that I mean, not what I was talking about in the last episode, but by that I mean, I stopped paying attention to who the artists were, who the actors were involved. To me, it's just, I just enjoy the scene, I just enjoy the music. If there's probably a verse that I like, I'll probably record it. But it's not like before where I paid attention who the rapper was, where they were born, what they're about, what? West Coast, East Coast, like, you know, Tupac, like I studied rappers, like, okay, J. Cole, Kendrick, Pusha T, all that shit. After that point, Migos was probably the last group I started paying attention to who the fuck they were. No disrespect. I'm just an old guy whose ear for hip hop hasn't adapted to the new age. I just leave it at that. I don't want to be a rap conservative being, all the old stuff is good, all the new stuff isn't. Nah, man. Migos has a fan base. I know they have a loyal fan base. This is why I said, hey, this is not the episode where I'll be mourning his death. Second, I should write these points down because I'm getting distracted. Yeah. Second, his death had me thinking about how death is like, same death, same face, right? If death was a person, his AKAs would be like Punchline. His AKA would be Tragedy or what's that word? Healing. Like when my grandmother passed away, she was just lying in bed, losing her mind. And it was just like when she passed away, I think everyone was like, thank God. Not that we wanted her to die, but more like, yo, her suffering is over. We looked at her death as suffering is over. Not too earlier on this week, I probably today, the hashtag Trump is dead was trending. And I don't know why they brought it, why it was trending, but I remember one person posted, this is a bad joke. And it's like, in that moment, for someone like Trump, death is considered the punishment, or you deserve what you got. I want to be clear. I am not advocating for the passing away of RCMP or CSIS or FBI, CIA, whatever the fuck, man. I'm a peaceful person. I think I'm just making it worse. I am not talking about, I got banned from Twitter, not kicked off Twitter for suggesting some shit like that. But I want to say, that's not what I'm talking about. My point is how death in this scenario, you hate someone and you're like praying for their death. And it's like the punishment that they deserve. But in Takeoff's case, a lot of people are treating it like a punchline, man. Not because I don't know much about this dude. I think his death, you know, is a tragedy, just like any human beings. But when it comes to rappers, for some people, it's like someone said his death was stupid. The shit that led to his death was stupid. I mean, I think about, you know, a soldier at war. I'm like, fuck, it always sucks. Like, there are people dying in Ukraine because fucking Putin. Like, I don't know. I ain't no geopolitics expert or whatever. But motherfucker wanted to go to war. Now people gotta die. You know what I mean? Like, their death is just because of... What's my point? It's just how the reaction to his death, even mine first. I remember joking about how I stopped caring about rapper's death after Tupac. Like, technically after Biggie. But I mean, because it was just getting silly. It was fighting over this or whatever. But I forget, this dude has family who are mourning his death, who are... who are like, who is probably has fans, who was, I don't know. Like, I don't know what kind of person Mr. Ball was in real life. But I mean, I don't know who he was in real life, but it has me questioning the concept of life, the value of life. Man, I don't know. Like, for some people, your life ain't shit. And for some people, like, care that you're around, you know, like, are grateful for your life, grateful for your existence. Let me see if they got some reaction. Shortly after, okay, in response to his death, I'm not going to do this. Shortly after his death, it was announced celebrity, including Dave, Chris Eubrick Jr., Ric Flair, Snoop Dogg, a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of names, blah, 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 all gave their condolences on social media. Big deal. I don't know. You know what I haven't Googled? What I was thinking of Googling? What the conflict was about. Like, I'm thinking of, got, you know, I've had conflicts with people before, but none of them led to my death. Unless I'm, you know, unless I'm in heaven podcasting right now. Anyway, yeah. I'm just saying, is there a conflict? Like, if I look up the conflict that led to his death, is there something that I'll read that'll be like, oh, okay, oh, well, shit, nigga, fuck, what did you think? You deserve that shit. Like, is there a reason I might be able to read that's going to make sense of why he died? All I know, a lot of people are, like, clowning him for it or clowning his death. I'm not saying, you know, right or wrong, whatever, but it's kind of like, look, but okay, I don't know if you are fans of the Boondocks and the joke about Gangstalicious was shot again. It was just like a punchline. Okay, I want to be clear. This is not me preaching, telling you what should happen, or, oh, shame on you people for laughing at his death. I'm observing. I'm trying to make sense of the world that I'm living in. I'm like, I feel like I'm a computer. Sometimes maybe I am a computer, and I'm just feeding information to some the alien race. And I was just thinking about the people who, for them, his death was ridiculous. Basically, he was whatever. His death was unworthy of sympathy. That's what I'm trying to get at. And I'm like, maybe they're right. Maybe they're wrong. I don't know. All I know is, all I hope for, the people who love him in his life, maybe that's, yeah, they're the ones who are, like, grieving and, like, yo, it's a shame for us. But for the rest of us, it's like, pick. Nah, I'm going to laugh. Nah, that nigga deserved to die. Some racist white dude is like, so whitey is out there going, yeah, good riddance, nigga, or whatever. You know what I mean? It's a good thing for him. Or maybe his life sucked. And this death is like, fuck, the relief. Maybe he's the lucky one. You know, that reminds me of that movie I was talking about earlier on, Silence, All Quiet on the Western Front. And I was thinking about, fuck, I wonder if the lucky people in war are the dead ones. Like, those who survive, holy shit, I don't know, man, the fucking nightmares, that, like, PTSD and an ungrateful government. Whatever. I'm just saying. Something. I don't know. When you're on a battlefield, when you're in a war, I don't know for myself. Look, man, I was just bitching about my day today. I could picture myself in a war. I'm like, yeah, you know what? The quickest way to death is what I'm taking. Yeah, and like that. Yeah. Okay. Look. Takeoff had me thinking about two things, the concept of life and death. And whose death, whose life, whose death is, like, worthy of sympathy, worthy, you know, look, and all that shit. It just had me thinking, man, just seeing him on my timeline so often and the various response to his death. That's all I'm trying to say. It just had me thinking. I don't have anything conclusive to say, just... I'm going to end it as R.I.P. and Vala Burgulis. All men must die. All men die, or whatever. Like, in the end, look, none of us are getting out of this life alive. That bottom line, we're all, I don't have any hopes and dreams for any hopes for your death. Just, you know, just, I guess, hoping that you managed to do what you needed to do or felt, you know, wanted to do. I guess that's all we could hope for. But, yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. Damn, that's fucking somber. All right. Okay. On a little positive note, I'm going to, what time is it? Okay. All right. I'm going to wrap this up. On a little positive note, I finally bought my ticket for, the Black Panther movies. And I got to tell you, I don't know when I'm going to publish this shit, but, hopefully when you hear this shit and you want to see it on November 11th on the release date, buy that motherfucker now, because shit are selling out. I'm actually going to see the movie in Montreal. Damn. Am I telling people my next move? All right, whatever. And well, my cousin, God bless her, she's, you know, I'm actually excited. I'm actually excited to, not just to go see the movie, but going to see it with my cousin. She's like good company. And I... yeah, I'm looking forward to that, man. So all I know is White Man is going to be making a shitload of money off this movie. It's kind of funny how they finally make a movie with black people in it. And you know, they're going to look at it as, oh, it's a progressive shit, but really, what the fuck, man? we're surprised that, you know, talent exists in the black community. You know what I mean? It's just, shout out to Oakland, man. Oakland, let me put black, because I don't want to mispronounce homie's name. Director, Mr. Ryan Coogler. He's from Oakland, so shout out to Oakland, the birthplace of the Black Panthers, for directing it, because I'm hearing good things about this movie, and man, another, this is like, you know what, shut the fuck up, I don't want to jinx myself on this movie. I'm a hater, okay, I gotta apologize. When the first Black Panther came out, I went in there, because I didn't want to be disappointed, going, you know what, in case, no way I'm walking out of that movie being the guy who hates the movie. I ended up liking it, but I think part of it is because I went in there telling myself that it was going to suck, and then that's how it works for me, man. When I tell myself shit's going to suck, it actually ends up being better. Yeah, I got to get out of that bad habit, but I'm just going to say I'm not setting any expectations for this movie. All right, I mean, I'm expecting good shit, but I'm just saying, don't jinx it. I mean, you know, I want to enjoy this movie. I really, anyways, yeah, so, that's about it, this concludes today's episode on a Wednesday, and again, I'm not sure if this is gonna be a habit, this might be considered the bonus episode, I'm still trying to work that out, still, this podcast is still growing, and right now, 2 episodes per week, so, growth for me. Oh, hold on a second, two episodes per week. All right, come on, children. All right, settle down. Yeah. Oh, hold on. Let me try that again. The levels were down. 2 episodes per week. Yay! Growth. If there's one thing I could say about, I can't tell you about this podcast, it's growth. More for me than for you, but growth. Growth is the overall theme of this podcast. With that said, this concludes today's episode. Holler at me at bblizak until Elon Musk on Twitter on Twitter, or until Elon Musk fucks it up. Yeah, bblizak or Shut Up Podcast on Twitter. And website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And subscribe to us on Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts, or simply use the RSS feed. You know, the RSS feed, the link, click on the link, control C into your favorite podcatcher, and tell a friend, man. Tell some friends. And thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast.